Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Friday to you as we come into the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, the birthday boy, Ben Lee, and intern Parker. How are we this morning? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody McClure, it's your birthday, Ben. You can turn the mic on and tell me how you are. Just another day. I appreciate that. It was a test. You passed. Cody McClure, how are you?
I am doing well, John. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. Happy birthday, Ben, today. I hope Ben has a great birthday. I like it that we can knock all of our birthdays out in one stretch of time.
You know what I mean? Basically,
like a month's time.
A month and a week.
Yeah. It doesn't take us long to just knock them out. As opposed to, you know, imagine if yours was March and mine was June and then Ben's was September.
It would give us more to celebrate.
It'd be crazy.
Give us more to celebrate, like...
It'd be crazy
between,
if that happened.
Between having to take you out last week and then turn around having to take Ben to lunch today. And luckily, I was able to just open up my liquor cabinet and bring Ben an open bottle of Volunteer Vodka to help kind of alleviate some cost.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't cheapen the gift, right, that I didn't pay anything for it. It's the gesture that counts, right?
And it's still a bottle of vodka.
Right, I mean... Yeah, you don't like it better because I go out and spend $20 on it, right? Like, you just appreciate the bottle of vodka, correct?
If you gave me a briefcase full of cash and then told me that it was stolen, I'd still have a briefcase full of cash.
And you'd still appreciate that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where the gift comes from. A gift is a gift.
Well, some people get mad at re-gifting. I got in trouble with my mom one Christmas for re-gifting.
That's a.
She was not happy about that.
I don't know. Is that?
I had one just some like massage chair or something at some type of event, some Christmas thing. I got like this nice massage chair. I didn't want it. I mean, it was worth 70, 80 bucks. Like, I'll just throw that as a part of my mom's Christmas gift. And she knew, and she did not appreciate it. She held that over me for a long time.
She was not happy about it.
She was not happy.
Really?
Maybe it's different with moms and Christmas. Like, it's the thought that counts, blah, blah, blah. So I was making sure that me and Ben were okay, that he appreciated me bringing him a bottle of vodka. Shout out to Volunteer Vodka. I got, like, eight of them in my cabinet. I was like, I can spare one for Ben Lee.
Absolutely.
Like I said, I can't take him out tonight like we took you out last week. So I just figured he'd just sit in his house and drink and watch the Masters after the show today.
It seems like something that Ben would do.
Did you watch any Masters yesterday?
Some vodka. No, I didn't. I wanted to, but I didn't. I couldn't figure out how to get the Masters app. I was trying to get it on my TV with the Roku.
Well, I downloaded the Masters app. Maybe I'm an idiot, but I looked around for a little bit. I was like, this isn't what I want. This isn't letting me watch what I want to watch. It was letting you watch, like, highlights afterwards. It's the only thing I could find.
Yeah, who wants to see that?
I didn't want to see the highlights. I wanted to see it as it was happening. I could see the score. Like, the ESPN.com updates the scores. Once you know what they make, I don't really want to watch it.
It was
at least that's how I was. So the Masters app did no good for me. And ESPN's coverage didn't start till 3. And I don't know if this is a part of being becoming an old man. I do remember when I was younger. My friends, I would go to their house often. Their parents loved golf, right? I did not. I liked Tiger. Didn't really care much about the other golfers. But I just remember how they would always scream. And maybe it was just because they were white guys, old white guys who were tired of Tiger. they wanted Phil. They wanted to protect Jack. But I just remember they would always scream, hey, there's other people golfing. Can we watch somebody besides Tiger? Because like on Saturday and Sunday when Tiger used to be in contention at the majors, like that was pretty much all they would show.
Why would you want to watch anyone else?
Well, yesterday I found myself thinking that too. I was like, can we see somebody besides Tiger?
Now you're just the old white man.
I felt like that was a part of the transition. I don't know. Like I was just like, hey, I like Tiger. It's cool seeing him golf. Can we see somebody else? What about, I got Tommy Fleetwood. I didn't get to see one Tommy Fleetwood shot yesterday.
The fewer shots of Tommy Fleetwood, the better.
Didn't get to see one of them.
All we care about is Tiger.
Well, not me. I told you I get in these majors pools now. I'm trying to watch some of the golfers I have in my pool or whatever. You get to pick so many of them. I don't think I picked Tiger. So I was like, hey, can I see somebody else? And I did not want to see Justin Rose, by the way. Terrible pick by me.
Yeah, you just
dumbass Justin Rose. I hope he's listening to this before he tees off. You're a dumbass, Justin.
You just got to go to the events and follow him around if that's what you want.
Were we on here? Were we on here when we talked about Brooks Koepka? Did someone talk me out of Brooks Koepka on here? But it was here where I said, why is Brooks? And then I did mistakenly think he had won the Masters last year, sort of, kind of. You know, obviously that was Patrick Reed. But every time I watch Brooks Koepka, he wins. I only watch the majors. Brooks Koepka is the greatest golfer I've seen in the last 15 years. Every time it matters, this guy's a machine. Could have had him at like 20-1. Could have had him in my Brett pool. Could have won. Everyone's like, no. Brooks is this and that. I was like, ugh.
Well, people were pretty down on Brooks because they said he lost a bunch of weight and messed up his swing.
That's what it was. Turns out he didn't mess up his swing. Turns out he just doesn't care about the loser events. He's like, I'm only going to play in the majors. That's when most people watch. That's when you judge golfers on their greatness. I'm just going to mess around the Ryder Cup. Didn't really care about the Ryder Cup.
They did like some special where he talked about like getting left out of like the President's Cup picture and being like upset about it.
Well, this is now he's going to take it out on everybody's head. He's going to win all the majors while being boring and making us all mad because we want other people to win. Which, shout out to him. I'm not going to hate on him. The guy's a machine. Every major, he's just here at the top of the leaderboard.
He'll fade.
That's what we said last year. He just kept getting better and better and better. He'll fade. Says the guy who didn't watch any of it.
He kind
of
looks like a skinny Will Muschamp.
You think that guy looks skinny? That guy's jacked. He ain't skinny.
I mean, he looks like a smaller version of Will Muschamp.
He looks like a jacked version of Will Muschamp. He looks like a CrossFit version of Will Muschamp.
I don't like
that. Not even a CrossFit, a weightlifter.
He'll fade. He'll fade. He's in fourth place in the tour. I guess he is tied for first right now. Hey, 6-under par. Hey, how about Phil, 5-under?
Yeah, shout out to Phil.
Yeah, and DeChambeau.
Those guys were all on the course towards the end of the day. I don't know. It seemed like the course was playing easier. That's what they kept talking about when I was watching. It was like, this course isn't playing that hard. It's weird that no one's posting these low numbers. Like, for a while, the leader was 3-under, and everyone was looking around saying, it feels like somebody should put up a -5 or -6. And sure enough, the guys at the back end of the course just came through and blitzed it. Those guys don't tee off. You got Dustin Johnson as well.
That's Phil's best first round at the Masters in 9 years, since 2010. We need to show Tiger about 70% of the time, show Phil about 10%, and then use that other 20% to divide between like Spieth, Rory, Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka.
It's crazy to me that we don't have more access to the Masters.
They've never been big on access.
Well, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I mean, do other tournaments do it? I mean, for some reason, I remember like in the U.S. Open, you could watch any group you wanted on my Fox Sports app. Maybe that was it.
Even ESPN has Game of Thrones on the front page today.
Yeah, look, we'll do some Game of Thrones. We'll do multiple power rankings today because I'm probably going to bog you down really talking some NBA here in a second.
NBA.
The playoffs are starting.
We got the Masters and Game of Thrones.
Give me some Masters covers then. Let's hear it. If that's what you want, help me out because
I'm not going to provide it.
I sprayed my chopper. That was all I have is Brooks Koepka Brooks Koepka is boring, but Brooks Koepka is a machine that wins every major, and I was on the wavelength of, hey, why not just pick Brooks Koepka? He wins every time, and then somebody told me that he's playing bad, and it talked me out of it, and now I'm kind of mad at whoever that was. That's it. That's what I got. We got some really big names up at the top of the leaderboard. Ricky, Tiger, 2 under. My guy, Tommy Fleetwood, 1 under. I love seeing Francesco Molinari. He came out and finished the round strong and shot 2 under. He's you know, 4 shots off the lead. The problem is, unlike you, I don't think Brooks Koepka's going to fade. I think that guy's a machine. He's in better shape than anybody. I think he's what... One of the reasons Tiger was better than everybody was Tiger was bigger and stronger than everybody. He ain't bigger and stronger than Brooks Koepka. Brooks Koepka's bigger and stronger than everybody on the tour right now. He's younger, and like I said, he's a machine.
Does being big and strong help you in golf? Like, I mean, is that a major quality?
I feel like you hit the ball farther, and I feel like you don't get tired.
I feel like you got good endurance, I guess.
I mean, if I'm looking at him or Phil Mickelson, who do I think is more likely to fade on Saturday and Sunday? Phil Mickelson.
Brooks Koepka.
Phil will get a little bit tired.
Nah, Phil. Phil's a seasoned vet. Phil won't fade. When has Phil ever faded? He's done this a million times.
Okay. Phil Mickelson's an old man.
Do you know that Phil would become the oldest major champion at more than 48 years old if he were to win?
That's what I'm saying. He's an old man.
He enjoyed a drama-free 2-under-34 on the front nine.
I don't know if it was drama free. I saw him shoot the very first shot of the tournament, and it just sprayed to the left, and I was like, oh man.
That was on number 10.
That was his first hole, though.
Oh well. For the most part, he was drama free. Things took a dramatic turn for the worse after hole 9. He hit his tee shot on 10 into the woods to the left.
Could have swore that was the very first shot of his day.
That was hole 10. He hit his second shot on 11 into the water for another bogey.
What the hell is he shooting after the first, after the front nine?
2 under.
And he started in the woods and into the water? Back nine and still finished 5 under?
He responded with birdies on 5 of the last 7 holes.
Okay.
For a 5-under-67. 1 shot behind the leaders.
I said that I was really wanting other people besides Tiger, but at the same time, when Tiger's his round finished... My other golfers' rounds had finished, so I kind of just went and did other things. So I didn't really watch much of Brooks Koepka and Phil or DeChambeau.
There's so much coverage we could provide today on the Masters.
Okay, you carry the load then, because
so
I gave you
much.
I gave you everything I had. So you carry the load. The longer you could talk Masters, the longer we will delay the NBA playoff coverage.
We can talk about Rory, how he came into Augusta as the betting favorite.
Uh-huh.
But limped through a 6-bogey first round.
Yeah.
6 bogeys for him.
He had 6 bogeys. And he also had...
5 birdies.
5 birdies.
Which evened out a little bit. But not great. Do you know that Rory only hit 7 of 14 fairways?
He had a bad hole 18. He had gotten hot, kind of got himself out of the hole, and then had a bogey on 18 to kind of ruin that round. Leave him with the bad taste in his mouth.
We can do this all day. What do you mean we can't provide Masters coverage?
Keep going. Let's see what you got. I'll let you catch a break. I'll let you reset, catch your breath, and we'll come back with more of Cody's Master coverage. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Chip writes in, how did Jason Day make it through the whole round yesterday with his back being so tight? He was walking like an old man. It looks like he was going to have to withdraw early. You don't really see golfers have to gut out injuries too often. Maybe blisters every now and then, I don't know. But, yeah, he was walking pretty stiff and still shot 2 under. First hole, it looked like he was done for. Does he always wear sneakers, or does it just look like he was wearing sneakers? He's wearing cleats. It looked like he was wearing sneakers. I'm like, is he wearing that because of his back, or is he just like, I don't need this extra grip on my swing?
They just wear, like, the golf shoes, right? Don't they have little – they're basically –
Yeah, these look like New Balances.
Yeah.
It looked like he was just rocking some, like, New Balance – or, like, some Air Maxes is what they looked like. It looked like he was wearing some Air Maxes.
Golf – do they call them cleats, or are they just
spikes,
shoes?
I think is what they call them. Golf shoes. Yeah, I mean,
They're like very thin.
Maybe people. Cleats, maybe I make people mad by calling them cleats, but like spikes. I don't know.
I think cleats is fair.
Okay.
They got the little spikes coming out of them.
Yeah, but they're not like football cleats or baseball cleats. You know, they're
golf cleats.
They're smaller. Is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, they make different size football cleats.
They do. You know, you forget about cleats after you don't play sports for a while. Mm-hmm. That's something you just never think about. I can't imagine buying a pair of cleats right now. The hell would I use them for?
To run up a hill, I guess, if you wanted to run up a hill really fast.
One of the most interesting things is wearing...
Go hiking? Could you wear cleats hiking? I mean, I don't feel like that would be good ankle support. You'd have good grip, though, going up the side of hills and stuff.
You just tape your ankles up.
Yeah, you definitely need better support on the ankles. That's why they got the boots.
Sure.
Mm. Yeah, because the boots come up and they hug the ankles.
When I go hiking, I always have a hard time coming down the hill. Coming down the hill is the rough for me.
That's harder on your knees.
Just jump off.
Sometimes I wish I could.
Or jump off when you get to the top.
Slide.
Or pick a hill to climb where you can, like, slide down. Or, yeah, you know, take a...
The expressway down to the water.
Yeah, take like a zip line down or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That would make it easier.
Mm-hmm.
I bet if you call a certain number and say, like, the right things, they'll just copter you out of there.
Yeah. Yeah, they would. That's kind of a dark joke, but yeah, that is true, Ben. You could do that. You ever worn cleats on concrete?
Yeah,
you know that sound?
Feeling, yeah.
It's like dit, 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 dit.
Click clack.
Click clack.
And they made a whole Under Armour campaign about it.
Click clack. How did they?
Yeah. Click clack. The thing they hear is coming.
Oh.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bryan DeChambeau, he's 25 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Koepka's 28. Do you realize these two guys head into today? It's the first time ever that two top six players in their 20s share the lead after any round in a major?
Everyone probably thought this was going to be Rory and Spieth. Like, I mean, a couple years ago. Now Spieth sucks. Like,
they're old now.
I don't like Jordan. I mean, he's still not over 28.
Yeah. No, but they're old.
Is Rory in his 30s? Yeah, I'm sure he is. Like, Rory's still late 20s. Isn't, huh? Yeah, Rory's 29. He's still in his
20s. But they've been at it longer. They've been at it longer. They're old.
I mean, Spieth's like 25, 26. Now, Spieth sucks now.
He's old in golf years.
He's younger than Brooks Koepka.
I'm talking about since we've known about them, is what I'm saying.
Are you going by years in service or age?
Years in service. It's a joke.
So give me the stat
it's
again.
A joke. I know he's young.
Well, what was the stat again? It wasn't people who have played golf.
Bryan DeChambeau, 25.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How long have we known about him?
I mean,
like for today?
No, I mean, he's been around.
Isn't it Bryson?
Probably.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other guy, Brooks Koepka, he just came on the scene like last year out of nowhere.
Not exactly.
But that's when he started winning. We started talking about him last year.
In us three uneducated golf fans.
Well, anyways,
Uneducated is a little extreme.
Give me the rest of the stat.
It's the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys in their 20s.
So not years service, just in their 20s. Like I said.
Which is still a huge feat.
Well, like I said, all I was saying was that we would have thought this would have been Spieth and Rory a couple years ago.
Washed up.
We thought they were going to be the two young guys battling it out at the top of majors, and Rory just can't win at the Masters. And Spieth, I don't know what's happened to him, but it seems like he's falling apart, which makes me happy because I hate Jordan Spieth. So seeing him just spray bogey after double bogey yesterday brought me a lot of joy, and I hope he misses the cut.
Why do you hate Jordan Spieth?
I don't like Jordan Spieth. Complains too much.
But you like Patrick Reed?
Complains too much. Mean to his caddy. Don't talk about my cousin like that. Complains about his caddy too much. Always complaining. Sold out the Bald Brotherhood. I haven't forgot about that. Yeah, just don't like him.
Sold out? What do you mean by that?
He got a hair transplant.
Oh, so is that the main thing?
That's a part of it. It's a part of it.
Can you do that now if you just want to get hair?
Brooks Koepka won the U.S. Open in 2017, so, I mean, we've talked about him for at least 2 years.
We were not talking about the U.S. Open in 2017.
I don't think we were doing the radio show yet.
I don't think anyone was talking about it.
I mean, they were if they were watching the U.S. Open that year.
But who watches the U.S. Open?
A couple million people.
This is the Masters.
It's true. This one is bigger.
DeChambeau said he was just looking to shoot something in the 60s because he'd never done that before at the Masters. What a magical back nine it was. The wind started to pick up around Amen Corner, and it was tough. It was not easy one bit. But DeChambeau did it because he's a champion. Think I'd have him in my pool right now.
You do or you wish you did?
Think I would if I had one.
Well, you can't pick again. You got to pick before the tournament.
Yeah, I know. See, that's the thing about it.
You got him, you got Koepka, you got Johnson, all right there at the top. Adam Scott, Rahm, Tiger, Molinari, Day, a lot of the top-ranked players in the world right there in, you know, within a couple shots. It's a good leaderboard.
Actually, I don't know if I like DeChambeau moving forward. He putts with the flagpoles in. Did you see that?
Some people are saying that was cheap. That's just weird.
He said he liked the COR of the flagsticks staying in the hole when he putts.
What does COR mean?
The coefficient of restitution. That's what he likes most about the flagstick staying in.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
It's the coefficient of restitution.
What does that mean?
It's the COR. It's like the diameter, the circumference. You know, it's
so he sees like
it's part of how you get to the hole.
So he sees like exactly where the middle is.
That's part of it. Seems like having the flagpole in would hinder your ability to hit the hole.
Well, I think that's why people take it out.
Yeah. Although, I mean, you can see it better. You can probably aim better for the hole.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the idea. You see right where the middle is.
But if it's a little too hard, you bounce the ball off the pole and then up spits it out, you know?
Yeah.
Be kind of tough.
You done with your Masters
coverage? So we've talked about DeChambeau and Koepka.
Uh-huh.
Can Phil keep the old magic going?
I don't know. It's never happened before. Right?
It's got to happen at some point, right?
Where an old man wins?
Yeah. Somebody's got to be the oldest guy to win the Masters.
And what's the record now? I mean, Jack at 47 or 46 right now?
Yeah. And Phil's, you know, he's older than that. So
he's 48, ain't he?
He is.
Isn't Phil close to 48?
Yeah, he's older than 48.
49?
No, he's 48, but a few months older.
Oh, okay.
It's not like he just turned 48. Phil said it looked like after bogey in 10 and 11, it would kill some momentum. It was the other way around for him. He responded to his inefficiencies, made two great bogeys that should have and could have been doubles, but after going in the water at 11 to hit that close and have an easy bogey, then after a terrible drive, those were momentum maintainers, if you will. They kept me in it. So Phil believes in momentum.
I mean, I think in golf you see people get really hot and get locked in.
It's basically like he needed those two bad holes to start the back nine to respond to them. And respond he did.
Well, I don't know if that's what he needed, but I think him hitting the shots to keep it close is what, you know, kind of, like he said, kept it going. He felt even more confident about his shots, the fact he was able to scramble. I mean, that's been one of Phil's, if not his biggest attribute, is the way he could scramble. Turn bad situations and save them. You know, you think of some of the crazy shots he's hit out of the woods, out of pine, on top of a stand.
Yeah.
Like, he's good at that.
A lot of the players are saying the greens this year are softer than they've ever been.
Interesting.
They're not as fast as usual either. Thursday was the day to take advantage of it, Phil said. I'm sure they'll get firmer and faster as the week goes on.
We'll see. Phil tees off today at 10:43. Like I said, a couple of the other big guys, the leaders, Koepka, DeChambeau, Johnson, they're going to tee off in about 15 minutes. Koepka at 11:04.
We've already got some guys on the course.
Tiger and Ricky, they will be two of the final people teeing off at 1:49 and 2 o'clock. So they'll be in the – I mean, the good news is if you're wanting to watch on ESPN – coverage starts at 3, so you'll get to see most of Tiger and Ricky's rounds.
Tiger will be out there. Yeah, Tiger, Ricky, Rory, and Patrick Reed. He'll still be out there, too, because he tees off at 1:16.
Another guy to keep calling him Patrick.
Another guy to keep an eye on teeing off at 1:05, Hideki Matsuyama.
There's a certain responsibility I have to protect my family members. And if you're going to keep calling him Patrick, we're going to have a problem.
Just saying. He's heavier than the other golfers. Well, I think I've proved a point that we could do more than one segment on the Masters.
Are you done? You done? You said you'd go all day. So, yeah, two segments and you're done?
I think I proved a point.
Did you? What point was that?
We can do two segments on the Masters.
Okay. I mean, I told you I shot my shot. But, yes, your segment of just reading the internet was pretty good.
Better than I expected. There are some other big-name players who have work to do today.
Just go to break.
Spieth.
Back on the program. So you done? You good with the Masters coverage? We'll keep an eye on the leaderboard.
There are some guys who can miss the cut today.
Yes, that's usually how tournaments work. People miss the cut.
Justin Rose, Brant Snedeker, he's three over. What'd you say, Parker? Paul Casey, Parker says, is nine over.
Paul Casey is missing the cut.
Fred Old Man Couple, six over.
I'm going to guess that Paul Casey does not bounce back from his nine over that he shot yesterday. I feel like he's going to miss the cut.
I don't suppose there's anything else I want to talk about with the Masters. Although, maybe one last. Who do you want to win?
I want to see Tiger win.
Same.
I mean, actually, outside of that, like, I would just be picking who I picked in my pool and stuff. Like, I guess the storyline, I feel like most golfers probably want to see Ricky get his first major.
The Puma guy?
That
guy sucks.
But, I mean, he's just probably the best golfer who hasn't won a major.
No, he'll never win as long as he wears the Puma clothing.
He's at least – look, I felt strongly about you. I felt strongly about that, too. I'll give him credit for at least getting rid of most of the really bright colors. Yeah, like it used to just be really bright orange. Now, he'll still break it out every now and then, but for the most part, he dresses a little bit more like an adult. A little bit.
They should not let him on the course. He's ugly. I don't ever want him to win anything.
He was rocking a mustache yesterday. What are you doing, he's Ricky?
Big dumb idiot. Nobody wants that guy to win.
I disagree. I think people like him, and they do want to see him win. But no, there's nobody really jumping out to me in terms of storyline outside of him, Tiger, and I mean, I guess Rory would complete the career Grand Slam, although I don't think anybody really roots for Rory.
What about some of these guys like coming out of nowhere, like the South African, Justin Harding?
Yeah, I don't care about
him.
Did
you follow him yesterday?
I don't care about him.
Okay. He's from South Africa.
I mean, good for him. I've never heard of him. If he shoots good again today, that'll be cool. Like, I saw him, and then I was like, who the hell is this Patton Kazeri guy? I've never heard of him. Is he a big golfer? I don't want one of those guys to win. I would rather it be somebody I've heard of and somebody that I at least somewhat know of.
That's another thing that sucked last year about Patrick Reed. He just came out of nowhere. Nobody expected that guy to win, and then he just came and won.
But people at least knew who he was, though. He had made a name for himself.
People in the golf community, maybe.
People who somewhat keep up with it knew that he was at least the bad guy. He was at least the villain. So, I mean, you at least had heard of him. He at least had a story.
Guy's a jerk.
He is. Big time jerk. Those Georgia guys all are jerks. Bubba Watson and Patrick Reed.
Brant Snedeker, where's he from?
I don't think he's from Georgia. Is he a jerk? That's the guy from
Texas or something.
Is Snedeker?
Oh, he's from Tennessee. That's right. Yeah, he's from Tennessee.
Is he the one who went to Vandy?
I think so.
Okay. Go Brant Snedeker. VFL, Vandy for life. I don't know. He's Tennessean.
All I know is that...
Are you done with the Masters coverage or not? Because are you just going to sit here and keep asking me random questions about random golfers that we don't really know about?
I'm done.
When
I'm
you said Snedeker, I did at least feel like, yeah, that guy's from Nashville. So, at least, we're rooting for Snedeker.
No, we're not. He's a Vandy guy.
He's a Tennessee guy.
No, he's not.
God damn it. Okay, fine.
All we need to know is that Tiger has a shot at the Masters, and that's all he needs.
I thought Tiger's bogey on 17 was a real kick in the back.
Let's move on to the NBA.
I mean, Tiger's bogey at 17. I mean, he was 3 under. He was sitting there flirting at the top of the lead, and the next thing you knew, he got himself in trouble and then missed like a 5-6 foot putt. Maybe it was a little bit longer than that, but he should have hit it. Bogeyed. Killed a little bit of his momentum. Now he's 4 shots off of the lead instead of 3. It feels like a big difference. The sooner you let me get to breaking down some NBA stuff, the way I had it in my head was we were going to hit storylines, boom, Game of Thrones.
Okay,
and then go back to some other NBA stuff, boom, Game of Thrones. Back to some more NBA stuff, boom, Game of Thrones. But the longer you keep this going, the less time we have for what you want to talk about.
I'm ready. My body is ready. I just wanted to make sure we got through some Masters coverage for those who desire it.
I just got a feeling that if you want Masters coverage, you don't want it from me and Cody.
Well, you got it.
I just got a feeling that if you are someone who actually says, hey, I really want to hear about the Masters, you don't want to hear the type of Masters coverage we gave you.
I feel like we gave a lot of detailed information.
Yes, that you could have clicked on ESPN.com and read yourself. For the most part. I mean, no offense, that's just outside of our wheelhouse. I don't think the big Preds fans are coming here for our Nashville Predators Preds reports either.
Speak for yourself.
They can check the app to see whether or not it went well.
I don't appreciate that.
It's your birthday, I'm sorry. They love the Preds report.
Well, let's move on.
Many say it's better than the movie reviews.
I don't think anyone's ever said that. I haven't seen anyone say the Preds report is better than the Marvel movie reviews.
We need Parker to have a segment on doing something.
I keep waiting for him to grab the bull by the horns. I can't do it for you, Parker. What's your level of expertise? Soccer? Tennis? Golf? Soccer, tennis? Can you golf? You didn't talk me back into the Brooks Koepka pick, so I'm not listening to you talk about golf either. We got some storylines. I mean, the NBA regular season was long. No one disputes that. It was long, and it felt longer than usual. Like, I know they're all 82 games. This one felt like it should have been over, like, at the 55-game mark. You pretty much knew who your playoff teams were for the most part. Like, you subbed out the Miami Heat for the Orlando Magic. That's pretty much the only change you made. Outside of that, you pretty much knew what was going to happen. The MVP race, still as clouded as it was, you know, at the game 55 mark. I think Giannis is probably still going to get it, although what James Harden did probably deserves it. But now here we are on the eve of the playoffs. Has your interest level raised at all? Do you still care? Or do you want to see how series shake out? Because I do think these storylines heading into the playoffs are pretty good. I do think there's a couple of good playoff storylines to watch. Because right now you have a lot of superstars, Cody, heading into these playoffs, feeling like they're probably not going to return with their team, especially if the playoffs go poorly, right? You look at Kevin Durant with the Warriors.
Dead.
You look at Kawhi with the Raptors.
Dead.
Kyrie with the Celtics.
Dead.
Jimmy Butler and Tobias with the Sixers.
I don't know.
I mean, those are 5 really good players. 3 superstars. 1 borderline superstar. I mean, I'm just more, I guess, picky, stingy with my superstar status. But Jimmy Butler's really good and Tobias is really good. Durant, Kawhi, and Kyrie are superstars. And all 3 of their teams are looking around thinking, hey, this is probably it. Now, with the Warriors, I don't know how much they care. Because if, you know, if Kevin Durant says, hey, I'm out, they still have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Raptors, like, they went all in trying to win the championship this year. I think if you had to realistically say, hey, are they keeping Kawhi, most people would say 80% no right now.
Kawhi wants to be in L.A.
Kawhi wants to be in L.A.
He's made it known.
Well, he hasn't actually said it to anybody, but his camp keeps telling everybody, right?
Right. So who do you expect to take down Golden State?
Well, I don't know, because that's another storyline is if you're Houston, you're probably – it's weird, but I feel like if you're Houston, you are happy that you got the four seed, which seems weird because now you play the Warriors in the semifinals instead of the conference finals, right? But if you're the Rockets, you probably look around and you say, hey, we're going to have to beat the Warriors anyway, right? You can't really rely on the Jazz or the Nuggets or the Blazers to knock out the Warriors for you. If you are the Houston Rockets and you want to win an NBA championship, I think you already know, hey, we're going to have to knock out the Warriors by ourselves. And what we've seen with Houston in the last couple playoffs, they get tired towards the conference finals, right? James Harden gets tired. Chris Paul gets hurt. Does it actually help them to get the Warriors in round two rather than the conference finals? If I'm them, that's what I'm telling myself at least. I'm at least coming up with something that makes me feel better about getting the four seed. Because if I'm a Rockets fan, if I'm the Rockets front office, if I'm Mike D'Antoni, hell, if I'm Chris Paul and I'm James Harden, is there any difference in making the conference finals and losing to the Warriors rather than just losing to them in the second round?
A loss is pretty much a loss in the postseason.
Like, you're not taking that for you're not taking solace in the fact that you took them to the, that you made the conference finals, right?
No, I mean, because if you just get there and lose every year, who cares?
So I'm like, hey, I would rather get them in round two before Chris Paul's hamstring gets hurt, before James Harden's legs go out from carrying the postseason burden, and he shoots 29% from three in his last three playoff runs because I think it's because his legs are tired. And teams start focusing on him, and he has to carry so much of the load, it makes it tougher on him. Now, he is a little bit of a choker, too. Maybe that has something to do with it, but I also think it's fatigue. If this guy's so tired.
Is it more likely that the Rockets beat the Warriors or that the Living is able to defeat the Night King? Because I'm thinking, like, Golden State is basically the army of the dead. Curry's the Night King, and Durant is like that ice dragon.
Okay, so you got Durant as the ice dragon.
Right, and then
Doesn't the Night
Draymond
King have a right-hand man with, like, the long hair?
Yeah.
There's been a couple of them. I mean, a couple
that
of
would
them
be
have
Clay.
Died. A couple of them
Clay.
Have died.
That guy would be – that would be Clay. And then Draymond would be one of the dead giants. And then the Rockets, you got James Harden, who is Jon Snow.
Just because of the beard, right?
Right. Chris Paul's Daenerys. And they have dragons of their own, which are somehow – Chris Paul has dragons in some way. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if the comparison works.
Yeah.
It just makes more sense to me to put it in those terms.
I don't know if it makes more sense for you. I think you're just trying to squeeze in some Game of Thrones talk here, which I don't really appreciate, but –
I mean, we're still in the NBA, though. Still talking NBA.
Technically, you're right.
I mean, which one do you think is more likely, though?
I mean, the Living is going to defeat the Night King. It's not ending with the Night King taking over.
I thought you've said all along that the Night King would win.
I think he wins round one. I've told you. Spoiler.
And then Bran comes back.
I think they do something to reverse the time, kind of go with an Avengers type of thing where they're going to reset the time. That's kind of what I think happens.
You can't really do that in the NBA.
No. I mean, you can run it back. Like, the Rockets are probably like, hey, this is, you know, they might even feel like they're better than they were last year. James Harden's gone to another level. Chris Paul has played a lot less games this year. They've upgraded their bench. Like, they went and got a rotting Kenneth Faried out of, I believe, Brooklyn. He was doing nothing on the bench. Like, hey, come be an energy guy for us, which is perfect for him. He just gets to run around, set screens, and get rebounds and try to dunk.
Is that another guy you're related to?
No, his name's Faried.
Kenneth, I thought you said Kenneth Faried.
Kenneth Faried.
Ah.
F-A-R-I-E-D, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought his name was Kennifer.
Kennifer Reed?
Like Jennifer with a K or something.
Uh-huh. No, I'm not related to him, though.
Okay.
So they went, I mean, they're a little bit deeper than they have been in the past. So So the Rockets might feel like they are running it back, Cody. They might feel like they are going back in time. Like, hey, we should have won last year, even without Chris Paul. Yeah. Let's run it back now. Yeah. Now the Warriors come back with DeMarcus Cousins, but that bench isn't very good this year. Kevin Durant feels like he's got 1 foot out the door.
You believe they are not deep enough.
That's what I've thought all year. Now we'll see, because DeMarcus Cousins has been pretty damn good for them. And he is an all-star, and he is DeMarcus Cousins, right? So, like, maybe. But this is his first time in the playoffs. I don't know if you can rely on him. I feel like the Rockets are going to beat them. That's something that might look really, really stupid when they play in the second round. And James Harden shoots under 30% from three, and Chris Paul gets hurt again because he's old, and that's what happens to old basketball players. And Paul's left two of his last three playoffs injured. That's not good, obviously.
What is the furthest that James Harden has ever advanced in the playoffs?
No, just the conference finals. He's made the conference finals, I believe, twice. Lost to the Warriors both times. I mean, it does feel like it's now or never for James Harden, although maybe it's now or let Kevin Durant leave the Warriors and then try again next year. But, you know, this window with them and Chris Paul being older, it feels like it's now, it's put up or shut up time for Harden.
Kind of seems to me like you've got one side that always chokes and then the other side just continually gets it done.
Just finds ways to win.
And they win in the postseason. Which, you know, if I don't know a lot about the NBA, but
sure,
if I were putting my money somewhere, it would be on Golden State.
Sure. And I think, I mean, a lot of people would agree with you. They're the big-time favorite. I just don't know if they're as focused as they have been. Right? Like, I don't know if they're all in it for the same reasons anymore. Like, last 2 years, it's been, hey, Durant wants to win a title. Hey, we're building a big-time dynasty here. This time around, it's been like, oh, well, we don't really like each other. Two of your starting five you feel like are leaving between DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant. Two of those five are gone. They might have to make a tough decision on Draymond this summer because Draymond's set to be a free agent 2 years from now. And the last thing I think you want to do is give Draymond Green big-time money as he ages. Feels like the Warriors might move on from him. Hell, they might try to move on from him to keep Kevin Durant. This might be Draymond's final run in Golden State rather than Kevin Durant's. Maybe they try that. Maybe they say, hey, Kevin, give us some time to try to trade Draymond.
It's like Golden State's got a little bit of just let's get this over with.
Maybe, or maybe they're going to just run out and they're going to say, hey, we're gonna become one of the few NBA teams of all time to three-peat, because three-peating is a hard thing to do, and they are right on the doorstep of three-peating. And that is what the great dynasties, that's what the great franchises do.
Who's the last to do it? Was it? It wouldn't be the Bulls.
No, it'd be the Lakers. Lakers, yeah. Lakers three-peated.
I thought the Lakers did.
Lakers three-peat, and it hasn't happened since then. Like the Heat, the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade Heat. Maybe they should have three-peated. Like, you look at that and said, hey, maybe you should have beat the Mavericks, and then you would have three-peated. I don't think anyone thinks they should have beat the Spurs the last year. The Spurs smacked them in the face. Mm. Like, I thought Miami probably should have beaten Dallas, but they just choked. Like, LeBron got rattled. LeBron choked. He gagged. That's the biggest black mark of his career, is what he did in that finals against the Mavericks. For everyone who says he's not Jordan, all you have to do is point and say Jordan wouldn't have done that in the NBA Finals, and no one can argue with that. Now, that's a pretty tough snapshot if you're arguing legacies of like, hey, one playoff series defines who you are. But that's a really big black eye on LeBron's resume, is you couldn't score on Jason Kidd and J.J. Barea in the post when it matters. So, yeah, I mean, that great Miami Heat team, they didn't three-peat. So, I mean, the Warriors could three-peat while also adding a fourth title in 5 years. Then all of a sudden you start looking around, you're like, wait, Steph Curry has how many finals? Four? If they win this year, he'll have four? And then you start thinking, wait a second. Does Curry have a chance to get to seven or eight? Does he have a chance to tie or pass Jordan? There's some legacy stuff there all around. And then there's other things. I mean, like, you know, we're talking about the Warriors flipping the switch because they haven't been very good this year. You know, the superstars, like I said, there's big stakes. Durant, the Warriors, Kawhi. If the Raptors get knocked out early, it's pretty much just, you know, confirmed that Kawhi's going to leave. Same as Kyrie. Like, if they lose, it'd be tough to keep him.
I'm interested to see who will come out of the East.
Yeah.
I think it's much more up for grabs.
I would say that all four teams in the top of the East right now feel pressure to win the East. Like, if the Bucks don't get out after winning 60 games this year, and, you know, they've done some historic stuff, Cody, in the sense of I believe they have 45 wins by double digits.
That's a lot.
They've won 45 games. Over half of their games this season, they won by double digits.
Which would be most of their wins.
Yeah, they have 60 wins, so it'd be 75% of their wins have came by double digits.
Wow.
When you win by double digits, you're supposed to win the NBA championship. Like, the Bucks would be an all-time choke job if they don't come out of the East. If they lost to the Warriors, I think we'd all say, okay, you lost to the Warriors. But if they don't come out of the East, you're going to be looking really funny at Giannis. You're going to start looking. I mean, he might be the guy who we start looking at. Like, it's kind of skipped some generations, right, in terms of who are our superstars that don't win. You know, for a while it was Kobe, right? And then it was Chris Paul and Melo a little bit, but we don't really care enough about Chris Paul and Melo to really bury them. Like, James Harden's facing that a little bit now. Anthony Davis, he can't even get to the playoffs. Maybe you start looking at Giannis like, hey, MVP, and you couldn't get out of the East after winning 60 games? The Raptors, like I said, they're all in. They think they can get there. The Sixers got tough decisions to make because Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are free agents. And if you have to sign both of them to max money and Ben Simmons gets his extension, you're going to have a really, really, really big payroll for a team that probably isn't good enough to win at all.
I think I would most like to see the Raptors come out. Just because I'm a big Kawhi guy.
And then the Celtics, yeah. I mean, the Celtics, they have that same pressure in terms of getting to the finals.
Do you have a rooting interest in the East?
I mean, Tobias Harris, VFL, I don't know. I like Embiid. I don't like Ben Simmons, but I like Embiid. Jimmy Butler is okay, I guess.
Ben says Giannis.
I mean, Giannis is a good – I mean, Giannis is a superstar that people can root for. He's a funny guy. He's a foreigner who's still a little culture shocked. He does it the right way. There's a lot of videos of him on the internet giving time to fans. Like, I don't know if you saw the one with him and, like, there was like a 6 or 7 year old girl who had painted him a bunch of pictures and gave him a big book of them. And he sat there and he looked at every one of them, took the time and got up and gave her a big hug, and your heart just melted. You're like, this is a nice guy.
He says,
hey, I want to stay in Milwaukee my whole career. I don't need big cities. I'm from a small village in Greece. I don't need big cities. I love Milwaukee. You want those type of homegrown stars. You want those guys who stay there. So, yeah, Giannis is a superstar you can root for. Like I said, all four teams in the East have pressure to make the finals, and two of them aren't even going to make the conference finals. To me, that makes it – that's kind of like the War of the Five Kings.
Oh, the East?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, they're all
except
going
– all the Five Kings die, spoiler alert.
All of these might end up dying, too, if you
count
the NBA
Finals. Isn't it amazing
finals?
How when you enter Season 2, you think all those are going to be big players, and then every single one of them die?
Yeah.
Renly, Stannis, Joffrey, Baylen Greyjoy, Rob Stark.
Spoiler alert.
Every single one of them.
Spoiler alert.
Die.
And that was after Robert, too.
Look, if I'm spoiling Season 2 at this point, I'm sorry.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, here we are, Season 8 now.
Interesting.
I know I started late, too, but I got done in plenty of time for the final season.
Cried about Season 5
I wouldn't
spoilers.
Say cried. Got close.
You literally stood in the corner and weeped.
I didn't weep. I screamed, tears, so I couldn't hear you.
I don't. Do tears have to come out for you to weep? Because when I think of I think of just...
I didn't weep.
Tears were definitely welling up.
No.
Tears were welling.
I yelled so I wouldn't have to hear you.
You can hear the
There was a crack in the voice like, are you guys done talking about it?
And then there was the standing in the corner of, stop! This is the worst thing you can do to anybody. As Cody has done it to people nonstop since then.
You don't do that.
Well, hey, I finished.
Do as I say.
I'm an awful person.
Do as I say, not as I do.
I really am an awful person. I'm just saying, it's season two. I mean, God, that was 2012.
John, you don't say that.
Come on.
But the East is going to be fun. Like I said, there are four teams with a lot of pressure. We haven't even talked about the pressures of the Celtics because, I mean, Kyrie could be gone. Then they're going to be like, well, what do we do? Do we go all in for Anthony Davis? He might leave too. Do we just run this back? Is this would be a big failure if the Celtics don't make it to at least the conference finals. I think it's a failure if they don't make the conference or the NBA finals. It's a failure. Like I said, all four of those teams have pressure to get to the finals. Two of them ain't even going to get to the conference finals. That's a good storyline. They might die in season two. Spoiler alert. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.